Amen. So in Genesis chapter 1, I want to focus there in the beginning where it says in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons." And that's the passage where I get the title for this morning's sermon, Signs and Seasons. It says that God put the lights in the firmament of heaven to be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven and to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And of course, we understand that those lights are the sun, moon, and stars. He goes on to explain there. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule by the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So you can see here in this passage, there's a couple purposes in these lights that are given unto us. The sun, the stars, and the moons, they're not just there for us to look at and be in awe, but they actually have a really practical purpose. Of course, the sun giving light upon the earth, that's a pretty obvious one. We need the sun for plants to grow and a myriad of other things. That's not really the point of this sermon. There's even a specific form of vitamin D that we can only get from the sun. That's why people that live in these northern climates where there isn't much sun often are very depressed people, and you have higher rates of suicide. And that's I'm speaking from somebody, as somebody who's from that region, I can attest to that, that there's, the sun plays a major part, even in our, in our moods, in our physical makeup. But really what I want to point out this morning is the fact that the sun, and it says there that they were, that these lights in the firmament of heaven were given to divide the day from the night so that we could keep track of day and night. But also it says, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So we could see that the sun, the moon, the stars are given to us not just because they're necessary for life, but they are given to us so that we can track what signs and seasons and for days and years. Now, when he says there for signs, I don't want us to get confused this morning and think that, he's got us suggesting that we, get into astrology or that we worship these things or anything like that. If you want to keep something there in Genesis chapter 1, you could turn over to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. And God, condemns, that we would worship these things or that we would look to them for some kind of meaning in our lives or something like that. He said in Deuteronomy 4, you're going to Isaiah 47, is where you should be going to Isaiah 47. But in Deuteronomy 4, it says that they were not to worship any, that they were not to corrupt themselves in any graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, that they were not to what? Verse 19, and thou shalt, lest thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and to serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole of heaven. So he's saying, look, I've given you the sun, the stars, I've given you these things for signs and for seasons, but I don't want you to get carried away and worship them, which is something that a lot of the heathen nations would do. They would look to, we could think of all the Greek gods and things like that that are named, after planets and Greek gods. They share these names. You have Mars and Venus and so on and so forth. But God doesn't want us worshiping these things, but that's not to mean that we should just completely dismiss them out of hand. They play a very practical role in our life. These signs and these seasons, the stars are given for us to observe those things. You look there in Isaiah chapter 47, you get an example of this, that God condemns, specifically astrology. And astrology is something that no Christian should be involved with. I believe that. Even you say, well, what about just reading it in the paper? I don't know if they even print that section anymore, right? But if people, do people even get the paper anymore? I don't know. I was thinking about the comic section, how nice it would be to have a good old-fashioned comic section every now and then. But, a lot of times they would include your horoscope and things like that. And the thing about that was, if you read those things, you could read any one of them and apply them to your life. They had about as much, significance as a fortune cookie, really, when you boil it down. And if you look at Isaiah 47, where Isaiah, the preaching is condemning, Babylon here. It says in verse 1, "Coming down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate." Look at verse 13, right? He's doling out this judgment. He says, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee." So God's saying, look, I'm judging you. I'm going to bring judgment upon Babylon. Why don't you get your astrologers? Why don't you call 1-800, what was that lady, Miss Theo or whatever? Once you call these prognosticators, once you call these people and see if they can save you. And he's saying that, he's mocking them, really, is what he's doing here, because he knows that none of these people can save them. Because there is no truth in them. You know, they're just looking at the signs, they're just looking at the stars, and they're just making whatever up. You know, and if you've ever known people that get into this thing, these type of things, that these, you know, your birth signs and all this type of stuff, really, if you look at it, every person could look at anybody else's birth chart or whatever they call it and derive meaning from it. You know, they derive meaning from it because they want to. They want to have some significance in these things. But, you know, just starting out, you know, that's not what God's promoting here. When he says that we are to look to the stars, the sun, the moon, for signs and for seasons, and he's not referring to astrology. We know that because of the fact that he's condemning that. But what he's appealing us or telling us to do is to use these things to basically track time. You know, and tracking time is something that we need to learn to do as Christians and just generally in life. Go to Psalms 81. Psalms 81. We need to learn to track time. And of course, the Hebrews back then, you know, they were using what's called a lunar calendar. If you notice there in Genesis 1, I'll just read to you. You know, if we were to read that, we were to find out earlier on in the chapter that the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, notice it was the evening and the morning that were the first day. A lot of people think that, you know, the day starts, you know, our day, because we observe a solar calendar starts, you know, at dawn. But in the Hebrew calendar or a lunar calendar, you know, it actually starts in the evening. And you see that all throughout Scripture. That's what they observed, that the evening was actually the beginning of the next day. We just do things differently. And, you know, there's more we could talk about that. That's something I'll probably preach on a little bit more at a later time. But, you know, he does tell us here to use these things as a way to track time. And, of course, we know they did this to observe the feasts and things like that. If you're in Psalms 81, look at verse 1. He said, "Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise, and the God of Jacob, take a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet," what? "In the new moon and in the time appointed on our solemn feast day." I don't want to take the time to go on these feasts and everything like that, but they tracked a lot of these feasts by observing the moon. You know, here we have, you know, blowing it up in the moon, in the new moon, you know, the time appointed, right? So these were part of their feast. That's what they used. They used a lunar calendar. And as I mentioned before, it was the evening and the night were called the first day. He called the day dark, the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, if you would, go over to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90. So God's saying, look, we have been given these things. We've been given the sun, we've been given the moon, we've been given the stars for signs and for seasons, right? To divide day and night so that we can keep track of time. And of course, we're coming up on New Year's, and this is kind of the New Year's sermon. You say, well, it's only the beginning. It's not even December yet. Why are you preaching a New Year's sermon? Because I don't want to preach a New Year's sermon on New Year's Eve, like the day before. I think when we're coming into the season, we should already be thinking about our new year, what we're going to be doing in the new year. And I'm for New Year's resolutions. I think that they're good things. They're things that we should do. And we'll get in here in a minute. Now, I'm not saying you have to do it, but obviously a lot of people do it. Like, a lot of people make resolutions, and I think it's a great thing to do. I think God has given us these things. He wants us to keep track of times and of seasons, so that we can, you know, kind of keep, as it were, a measure of our days, right? Did I have you go to Isaiah chapter 90? If you're in Isaiah chapter 90, look at verse 9. He says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." So he's saying, look, our days are passed. They're spent as a tale that is told. Now, I don't think he's talking about the tale being told like God, like our story's already been told. You know, a tale is something that, you know, is like a counting, right? You think of a tale or a teller, right? A teller is somebody who counts. So he's saying our days are a tale that is told, meaning, look, we've only get so many of them. You know, our days are already measured. That's why he goes on and says in verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. Right now, how many is a score? That's 20. So 20 times 3, 70 is 60 and 10. So that's what he's saying. The days of our years are what? 70 years. Now, if you make it to 70, you've lived, you know, a long life according to the Bible. You know, that's the measure that's been given unto us. And he goes on, "And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow," right? So we are promised, you know, that we might get to 70, And if by reason of strength, we could even make it to 80. And we know that people do live longer than that, but really that's kind of what can be expected in life. That is the tale that has been told unto us. That's how many days you get. And, you know, the younger we are, the more distant that seems to be. And we think, oh, we've got our whole lives ahead of us. But we soon find out very quickly that it goes by like that. And the next thing you know, we're you know, middle-aged, 40, whatever years old, and we feel like our life is half over. Well, that's because, you know, according to Psalm 90, it is. You know, it is half over, right? And I'm stressing the importance this morning of what of measuring your days, right? He says in verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Search even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Look, God's given us science. He's given us seasons. He wants us to keep track of time so that we can number our days, right? And we can do what? Apply our hearts unto wisdom. We should learn to spend our lives in a way that is productive, that is going to benefit us in eternity. We should apply our hearts unto wisdom and not be foolish with our lives. You know, we should live our lives in a way so that we can get that full, let's get that 80 years and maybe a few more, you know, by God's grace. Let's go ahead and apply our hearts unto wisdom and how we take care of ourselves, the things that we do, the things that we don't do, and use our days in a wise way. That's what he's saying here. And I think that's why, you know, New Year's resolutions, and if you would, go over to Matthew chapter 5, that's why I think New Year resolutions are a good thing. Now, I wouldn't always feel that way. For a long time, I thought, you know, New Year's resolutions were kind of hokey, and most people don't follow through on them, and I thought, you can make a resolution anytime, and that's true, isn't it? But you know, in our culture, in the world that we're living in right now, it is kind of a marker, right? It is kind of a thing that we have in our culture that causes us to think about those things. And I think that, you know, I've kind of changed my mind about that and said, you know what? No, New Year's resolutions are a good thing. I think there's something that we should try to implement in our lives. You know, because back then when I thought New Year, and I didn't really give a lot of, you know, credit to New Year's resolutions. It wasn't something I was really into. I found myself not really getting a lot done in the year. You know, another year just kind of went by and things were the same. But when we actually sit down and make a plan and say, hey, this year is going to be different. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. I'm going to add this. I'm going to get rid of that. We actually sit down and measure our days and we actually keep track of the time that we have and use it wisely. You know, we find ourselves getting more things done. Now, again, this isn't, I don't want to confuse us with thinking that we've got to make some kind of an oath, right? Now, New Year's resolutions are things that, you know, if we say we're going to do something, we should just do it, you know, period. But again, we don't want to be people that are swearing an oath. Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, or you are, look at verse 33, he said, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is a city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh from evil. So we could look at that and say, well, is this kind of speaking against the New Year's resolution? But I don't think it is. I think what he's getting at here is the swearing is more of, you know, you're binding yourself to, like he says here, by heaven, by God's throne. This isn't necessarily akin to sitting down and saying, I'm going to make some changes in my life. But the principle that we should take away from this is that if we are going to say, hey, I'm going to change something this year, I'm going to do something different, I'm going to change the way I'm living in 2022, you know what? Let your yay be yay then. You know, and if there's something you're going to stop doing, something you're going to get out of your life, some sin, some bad habit, whatever it might be that you're going to get out of your life in 2022, you know what? Then let your nay be nay. If you're going to make a resolution this year, and I encourage you to do that, I think we should all, especially about this time of year, you know, it's really good to actually start your New Year's resolutions before the new year. You know, everyone makes the resolution, I'm going to start getting up early. And then New Year's Eve, they're up till midnight, or 1 or 2, right? And then they're getting up at 8 or 9, and then they just think, well, I already blew it. You know, it's the new year, I've already messed up. You know, if we're going to say, hey, I'm going to get up early, we should probably start getting up early now. We should probably start implementing, you know, whatever diet, whatever, you know, I know nobody likes to hear that, especially this time of year, but, you know, we just came out of Thanksgiving. I think we all kind of had our fill this week, right? This would be a good time to start thinking about that diet. You still got that Christmas dinner coming. You can, you know, get one more in there where you can kind of gorge yourself a little bit. But it's good to start these resolutions now so that when you go into the new year, you're already kind of getting in, on track here. And again, look, if you're not one that sat down and actually made any resolutions this year, I would really encourage you to do that. Even if it's just one resolution. Maybe it's even just improving on something that you're already doing well. You say, hey, you know what? I read my Bible once every year. I've been reading my Bible consistently at least one time a year. Maybe this is the year where you say, I'm going to read it twice. Maybe just do a little bit more. You know, whatever area, that's just an example. There's so many other areas in life that we could talk about. You know, you say, hey, I resolved to lose X amount of pounds last year, but you know, I could still stand to lose a few more. Maybe you need to just say, I'm going to lose those extra few pounds this year, or whatever it might be. Maybe I'm exercising, but I could be better in this area. Look, there's resolutions that we should all be making. And I believe that God, you know, would be pleased with that. And I believe that's a part of the reason why God has given us these signs and, you know, these seasons that we track time with so that we can, you know, measure our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, if you would, go over to 1 John chapter 1. And again, this isn't, you know, we're not getting into, you know, we don't want to get into this thing where we're esteeming, you know, one day above another, when we're trying to make this some kind of almost, you know, idolatrous type of thing. You know, where we're venerating. You can make a resolution any time of the year. You can resolve to get some sin out of your life anytime you want. You can resolve to start doing right anytime you want. But the you know, human nature is that unless we're prompted to do so, we generally don't. You know, man, our human nature is we just kind of get into a rut, isn't it? We just kind of get into a rut. We kind of just keep doing things the way we've always done them. And, you know, unless there's some either severe consequence or some just pressure on us to change, we're not going to change. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And, like, that's true of everybody. That's just human nature. That's just the way we're built. In a lot of ways, that's good. You know, there's some things that we should just get in a rut about doing. Once, you know, you form a habit and it just becomes second nature. You know, that can work for you or against you. You know, if you have a good habit going and it's where you've done it so consistently for so long where it's something you don't even think about, it's just automatic, and that's beneficial to you, well, that's a good thing. But look, there's a lot of things that we're, you know, this could fall into two categories when it comes into the negative, right? The bad things that we should stop doing, right? Whether it's sinful or not. Maybe it's just a, you know, a bad habit that's not good for our health, or maybe it's just, maybe it is some sin that we're just, you know, we do it habitually. It's not even something we really want to do. It's just something we've been doing for so long and we're just so used to it that we can't, you know, the thought of changing is almost intimidating, right? But look, we need to learn to change those things. We need to have some pressure on us. And I think that's what's great about New Year's resolutions. I think that's what's great about having these times and these seasons in our life to where we reflect on the year that's passed and reflect on, you know, the year to come. You know, I think about that for our church. You know, I think about, okay, well, what did we accomplish at the end of 2020? You know, as horrific of a year as that was, you know, we managed to get 200 salvations, exactly, you know, that were counted, right? I know because the 200th salvation came, I think it was on New Year's Eve, or like the last, it was like the last church service of that year. We went out after dinner with some folks, and the guy we took out, you know, got the waitress saved. You know, after our evening service, we went out in the midweek service, we had 199 salvations, you know, and we got that last one right before the end of the new year. So we had 200 salvations, you know, in the year 2020. But how many do we have this year? You know, let me just review here real quick. We got 119 so far this year. So I don't think we're going to probably pull off another 79 salvations here in the next, you know, few weeks. But look, could that be something we resolve that next year in 2022, that we as a church say, hey, let's get back to that 200 mark. Look, I think that's a good goal to have as a church, to say how many salvations can we get? You know, another thing I want to do, I'll have it in the bulletin coming up, is I want to start Operation Confiscation, you know, unless I can come up with a better name. But, you know, basically say, what is that? Well, what I want to do is I want to get a nice-looking basket back there, nice-looking one that we will use to collect false Bible versions. So when people go out, you know, and they get somebody saved or they talk to somebody at a door, you know, if you can put a King James Bible in their hand and take away their false Bible, you know, their ESV, their NIV, or whatever, you can come back to the church and sign your name in it and throw it in that wastebasket, and let's see how many we can get in 2022. I think that's another great goal for our church. And then at the end of the year, we can burn them all, right? Of course, this is an idea that Pastor Shelley implemented over at Pure Words. I think it's a great. He has his annual Bible burning. So I thought, man, I like that. And it's false Bibles, folks. We're not burning the King James Bible, right? But I think that's a great idea. You know, and we could see, and you could see, oh, how many King James Bibles can I get in somebody's hand? You know, we'll order a bunch. We'll get them back here for people to give out from the church. You know, how many salvations can I get? Look, if we want to get back to 200 salvations, if we want to say, hey, 2022, let's get 300 salvations. Let's get more salvations than this church has ever gotten. You know, we can't do that as just, you know, one person can accomplish that. Everyone in the room has to resolve, hey, I'm going to be a soul winner. Or if they're already soul winning, they're going to perfect their soul winning. They're going to get better at their methods. And I've already got plans coming up the next few weeks to, you know, preach a series about soul winning and review all of that to help us with that. But, you know, you have to determine for yourself to be a better soul winner or to just begin soul winning at all if you're going to help us achieve that goal. You know, and we're not going to achieve that on our own. That's something we have to keep in front of us. But wouldn't it be real easy to just look at this bulletin this morning and say, well, you know, I know it's not 200, but it's, well, I'm sure we'll have 120. You know, that's a lot more than a lot of other churches are doing. That's a lot more than a lot of other Baptist churches do. Some of them never get any salvations. You know, we could say the same thing about the baptisms. We could look there and we could say, look, we've got 11 baptisms in total for this year. Well, what about, you know, in 2022, we double that. We get 22 baptisms. You know, we can have, if we get this last, you know, lackadaisical attitude where we just say, well, that's good enough. You know, next year we'll probably do less. Next year maybe we'll hit 100. Next year maybe we'll only do half. If we just think, because that's how things tend to go in human nature. When you know, we always kind of tend towards, the downside. We always tend to degrade in these things. We have to constantly be reminding ourselves and renewing ourselves and challenging ourselves to do better than we've done before. And again, that's why I think New Year's resolutions are great. And I would really encourage you to make some. You know, we're making some as a church. You know, we should probably just come out and say it right now. Let's shoot for 300 salvations next year. Now, I know other churches that are smaller than ours, they aim for like 1,000, and they hit it, you know, but they're in really great areas. So, you know, I don't know that we're in the most receptive area. Maybe we are. You know, maybe we could just put more effort into it and so on and so forth, and I know a lot of people already do. But if we would all step up our game, either by beginning soul winning or, you know, getting better at the soul winning that we're doing or adding a little bit more, you know what, we could probably hit 300. We could probably hit that. And you say, well, what's the big deal about the number? Well, you know, the big deal about the number is that, you know, that's 300 souls that aren't going to go to hell. It's not just so we can slap ourselves on the back and say good job at the end of the year. It's because that helps us achieve the mission, right? And we could sit back and just say, well, I know we're all so spiritual and so holy in here and so motivated that we don't need to have goals. You know, we're all in it for the right reasons. We all have the right motives. You know, why even keep track of the numbers? Do we really even need the bulletin to show us what we're accomplishing? You know, no, we probably don't. We probably would still go out and get people saved. But would we get as many people saved if we were actually shooting for a goal? If we had actually resolved as a church to get more salvations or more baptisms or more attendees? You know, that'd be another goal we could set. We could say, hey, let's work on getting visitors to come out. You know, let's start inviting friends and family. Let's start inviting the people that we get saved to come back to church or to come to church and do follow-up and things like that. You know, and I understand that there's things that I could do on my part to help with all that, but ultimately that's a goal we have to have as a church, as individuals. Those are things that we have to take on personally if we want to achieve that. So that's what I'm kind of getting at this morning, is I just want to encourage us that as we approach the new year to start thinking about this. Start thinking about the goals not just for our church, but also in your own personal life. You know, your Bible reading, your personal soul winning, your prayer time, all these things you ought to be doing, goals for your children. You know, I think you should have goals for your children year by year, that you should, you know, challenge them to, you know, read their Bibles, to whatever, you know, it might be. We should be putting these things on them. Look, kids like to achieve things. You know, kids want things to shoot for. They want a standard. You know, a lot of parents get it backwards and think, well, if I just don't have any rules or, you know, standards for my children, then I'm going to be their best friend. Actually, what you're going to do is you're going to make kids that are pretty miserable because they'll never have a sense of accomplishment. You know, they like being able to achieve something. You know, you say, hey, you need to read your Bible or read the New Testament, or, you know, it might even be just, hey, read the book of Proverbs. You know, just challenge them with something small. You know, start small. Obviously, telling a five-year-old to get through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you know, they're 5, 6, 7 years old, they just learned to read and things like that. It's probably not realistic. But you could get them in the habit of reading for 15 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, reading one chapter in the New Testament or one page. However, but the point is this, have some kind of a goal. Don't just, you know, don't just be apathetic when it comes to goal setting in your life. Set goals and achieve them. You know, kids love to achieve goals. And look, we all do, don't we? Do you ever just do something that you were dreading doing? You know, some chore, some task maybe around the house, something that, you know, you were given to do. But when you actually get it done, you actually feel like you got something done. Say, wow, I accomplished that. You know, the car breaks down. It's like, man, I don't want to fix this thing. You put it off and put it off, and then you do it. And you feel like, man, I really did something. You know, I got something done today. It's a good feeling. Well, wouldn't it be great if you got something done this year, this coming year in 2022? If at this time next year I get up, and I will, I promise you, preach a similar sermon about goal setting and achieving, you say, well, you know what? You preached this same sermon a year ago, and I achieved this, and I achieved that. I did more Bible reading. I did more soul winning. I got more people saved. I memorized more scripture. You know, I was in church more often. I brought, you know, all these things that you could go into 2022 intending to achieve and having achieved them. That could be you this time next year. And hopefully you're sitting here this morning, and as I'm preaching this, you're already reflecting on things that you achieved in 2021 that you set for goals a year ago. But if not, you know, we need to change. There's a resolution for you right there. Make a resolution. What's my resolution this year? To actually make some resolutions and achieve them this year. Because, you know, this is something that we need to have constantly as a mindset. Now, and don't be one of these people that when you set a resolution, you know, you get a few weeks into it and you mess up. You know, and then you say, well, what's the point? You know, you haven't even gotten in 6 weeks and you missed a day of Bible reading. You're like, well, just never mind. I'll just wait till next year. Don't wait till next year. You know, actually, you know, just move the date down. Just put your date out ahead a little bit further. You know, the higher you aim, the more you will achieve. Even if you don't meet that exceptionally high goal, keep shooting for it. But look, we should always have this mentality that any time is a good time for what? A fresh start. A fresh start. Did I have you go to 1 John 1? 1 John 1? That's a great example here of having a fresh start. That's what I love about New Year's. You know, it's like a wiping of, we kind of wipe the slate clean. We look back and say, you know what? I could have done better in this area. I could have done better in that area. But now we're going to 2022. This is the year where I, you know, lose the weight, or I achieve this goal physically, or I achieve this spiritual goal, or whatever it is. You know, you get that fresh start. And that's an attitude you should have year round. And that's something that God has towards us. If you look there at 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, that's a promise that you can use every day. That's a promise that we need pretty much every day, isn't it? I guarantee you we probably all sin every day, at least to some degree or another, whether we realize it or not. But God gives us a fresh slate every single year. Or every single day, excuse me. That if we just confess our sins, you know what? God's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins. God wants to give us a clean slate. You know, and look, that's the kind of mentality that we need to have with ourselves too. We need to treat ourselves that same way. And be, you know, not turn into these tyrants with ourselves, but to actually show our own selves some mercy. You know, that's what I'm talking about. When people start resolutions, then they fail. They mess up a few weeks in, a few months in, whatever. Then they just beat themselves up. You know, and they just say, well, what's the point? You know, let me just forget about it. I'll try again next year. No, just give yourself a fresh start the next day and start over then. You know, maybe you'll say, hey, in 6 months, I'm going to have X amount of salvations. You know, I'm going to try to get X amount of people saved, or I'm going to try to get so many people saved a month, or whatever it is. And then you find yourself coming short. You know what? Just say, well, you know what? Then so many months from now, I'm going to try and achieve it again. And if you just keep trying and keep making resolutions, you know, you will get more done than if you just didn't make any resolutions at all. Because that's what a lot of people do. New Year's comes and goes, another year comes and goes, and nothing's been achieved. Nothing's been done. Nothing new. They've not gotten any better in any area of their life. It's just the same old, same old. You know, that's a boring life to me. That does not sound like fun. To get to the end of my life, you know, get to my 4 score and 10, you know, by reason of strength, to look back and say, well, what did you accomplish? Meh. Right? The meh. Not much. You know, did I accomplish it? And look, and no one, obviously we're all going to look back and say, I could have done more. Right? But we shouldn't look back and say, well, I didn't even try to do more. You know, I was just bare minimum. Just barely, you know, drugged myself to church. Just barely went out soul winning. Just barely read my Bible. You know, just squeaked by in the Christian life. That's not exciting. That makes the Christian life a long drudgery of just trying to just eke by. Look, you ought to just jump all the way in and actually set some serious goals. And, you know, goals that are achievable, you know. A lot of times people hear sermons like this and they think, that's it, you know. New Testament in 90 days? Psh, I'm going to read the whole thing in 30, right? And that sounds like, you know, a high goal. And look, people do that. I know people, but you got to have a lot of time on your hands to be able to do that, right? And that's something that can be done. But that's probably not a very practical goal for most people. And I'm using Bible reading and things like that just because that's a real common example. You could apply this to any goal that you're going to set. You know, set a reasonable one that's actually achievable. You know, you think, well, I'm going to read my Bible every 30 days. You know, trying to read your whole Bible in 90 days is probably practical. You know, trying to read your Bible once in a year, that's very practical. That's 15 to 20 minutes a day of Bible reading. And if you've never done that, you know, that needs to be a resolution that you make this year. This is the year I get my Bible read, cover to cover. Every page, every chapter, every verse is going to get read in 2022 if you haven't done that. And here's the goal for you. One time. One. Don't go from I've never read it to I'm going to read it 7 times this year. Because it's not going to happen. Because you're going to get into February, March, you're going to be getting into Leviticus, you're going to get into Deuteronomy, you're going to get into Numbers, you're going to get into these books that are just going to bog down and slow down. And, you know, you're going to get into those latter chapters of Job where, you know, all his friends are piping up and it's just like, when are these guys going to shut up? You know what I mean? And it's not practical, right? And I want to preach more about, you know, about Bible reading and specifically in another sermon later. But, you know, have some practical goals when it comes to your resolutions this year. And don't, you know, I'm going to go from being completely inactive to now I'm going to go, you know, hike some huge mountain somewhere. You know, I'm going to go hike up the face of Mount Lemmon now. That's a hard hike. I mean, I think Mount Humphreys would be easier just because of the fact it's actually got a path that's well traversed and everything like that. But you don't go from, I can't walk 2 miles without getting out of breath. I can't go up a flight of stairs without getting out of breath to I'm just going to sprint up Mount Humphreys. You know, that's not going to happen, all right? You have to have practical goals, you know, if you want to actually achieve something. And look, you could, that's probably a bad example because even if you were a really out of shape, you probably could walk Mount Humphreys with a little bit of training. If you just say, I'm going to walk 2 miles every day, then 5 miles every day and build up to that, you know, you could achieve that, right? But you wouldn't just go that from one day to the next. You wouldn't just go up there completely untrained. You might even do it, but it's going to be miserable, right? So that's the point. You know, and have practical goals. And look, when you go into the new year and you mess up, when you slip up, when you miss a day, or you go off the diet, or whatever it is, just give yourself a fresh start. You know, confess your sin and forgive yourself of that sin, right? And cleanse yourself of that unrighteousness. And just move on. Go, just get back in the saddle and move on. And, you know, that's what God does with us all the time, isn't it? God gives us second and third chances all of the time. If you would go over to Romans chapter 6. He said in Proverbs 28, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, a big part of, you know, achieving your resolutions is going to be acknowledging the fact that you need to change. You know why some people are not going to make any resolutions this year? It's because they don't think that they need to. They think, well, there's nothing wrong with my life. My life is perfect in every way, when it's not. They need to confess to themselves even. instead of trying to hide their sins and to cover their sins, or to, you know, not even if it's something sinful. They need to acknowledge the fact that something needs to change to begin with. But a lot of people don't want to do that. They just want, well, there's nothing wrong. But you know what? We could all improve. Nobody in this room has arrived. Nobody in here has you know, read the Bible enough. Nobody in here has done all the soul winning they need to do. No, you know, some people are probably doing it right in the weight department, right? But a lot of us, you know, could probably work on that. Or we could pray more. You know, we could get some. There, we have all these areas in our life that we can improve in. There's nobody in this room could walk out this morning and saying, you know, I'd make resolutions, but I just can't think of any. Because I'm just perfect in every way. You know, my finances are exactly where they need to be. You know, my children are exactly where they need to be. My spiritual life is exactly what it needs to be. You know what? We all have areas to improve in. So we know we need to confess that. You know what? And then be merciful unto ourselves and take the steps necessary to actually achieve those goals. Are you in a, where did I have you go? Romans 6? He said there in Romans 6, chapter 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that he, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And look, I understand there's a greater application here about walking in the new man, you know, but here's the thing. Isn't this kind of pointing towards the fact that, you know, in salvation we've been given a fresh start? That God has saved us and made us a new creature, that all things are become new, right? That's what I'm getting at this morning. That's why I think, you know, observing these times and these seasons when it comes to New Year's is a good thing, because it encourages us to say, what am I going to change this year? You know, to make some changes and to walk, as it were, in a way, you know, newness of life. I'm going to add something to my life that wasn't there before. My life is going to change in the beginning of the new year. I'm not going to do the things I used to do. I'm going to start doing these things that I should do. I'm going to be a different person, so to speak. Now, if you would, go over to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah, keep something there in the New Testament. We'll come back. But a lot of people, you know, they're not going to make resolutions because of the fact that they just think that they can't change. You know, and that's another reason I think a lot of people just kind of stay in the rut that they're in. They don't think change is possible. But what does the Bible say? If you would, actually, go back to Isaiah 40. We'll look at them both. Go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Look, if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, you know, if we have God empowering us, you know, why can't we change? You know, why, if there's some sin in our life that we have, there is no sin in your life that you can't get victory over. There's no sin in your life that is just going to be a part of your life until the day you die. That's not true. Or there isn't some spiritual goal that you can't achieve just because, you know, maybe you're older or maybe you got saved later in life. There are, obviously, there's some things that we can't do as much, you know, we only have so much time. Maybe we can't do as great a quantity of some things that other people can do. But look, we can all do more than, you know, nothing, right? Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. He said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Look, this is him talking about the fact that, you know, if we have God in our life, God's not limited, right? He doesn't faint. He's not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. And he says that he gives power to the faint. You say, man, I'd like to change. I'd like to be different. I'd like to make these changes in my life, but I just don't know if I can. Well, you know what? God will give you the power to do that. You say, that sounds kind of supernatural. Well, you know, we live in a supernatural world. You know, this is a supernatural book. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural thing. You know, and God can change us. And God can, through prayer, through Bible reading, and through our own discipline, you know, we can be changed. And God can give us the strength to make the changes that we need to make. But, you know, a lot of times we don't want to make those changes because we're just used to the way things are. We're not going to change anything. But if we would pray and go to God, he would help us. Say, well, you know, that's for the young people. You know, the young people are the ones that are going to do all these great works for God. Well, what's he say? He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Look, their strength's going to run out. You know, look, I'm glad you guys won all those football games. All four of them. I'm glad you trounced the Tucson or the Tempe crew. Amen. Right? But look, that's, you know, even these young guys are here today. What are they complaining about? I'm so sore. Right? Well, get used to it. Eventually, you get to the point where you don't do anything. And that's just, you wake up. You just wake up sore. What did I do yesterday? Nothing. You know? I woke up and I'm sore. Right? But that's not to say that we can't still, even in our, as we grow older, as our physical strength declines, we can't still do great things for God and still accomplish things for God. But a lot of people, you know, they're not going to make resolutions because they don't think they can change. Go back to Isaiah 43. You know what I love about resolutions? It's you know, we get to kind of, we might look back on the last year and say, man, why did I do that? Or that's another year where I left something undone, or I didn't achieve something. Or another year where I didn't change some habit or didn't get some sin out of my life. Or, you know, we'll look back and we'll beat ourselves up over that. You know what I love about New Year's is it's a chance to just wipe the slate clean and to just say, you know what, that was last year. This is a new year. I can look forward to making the changes, right? But if you're going to do that, you have to forget about last year, okay? I mean, I'm not saying don't pretend it didn't happen, but don't sit there and beat yourself up about the things you didn't achieve. You know, look forward to the fact that, hey, I'm going to get to the same time next year, and I'm not going to feel this way. I'm not going to look back and say, oh, you know what? He preached a sermon like this last year about Bible reading, and I said last year I was going to read my Bible at least once, and I still haven't done it. You know, that's unfortunate, but don't sit there and beat yourself up over that. You say, well, what's the point of resolving again this year? I know I'm just going to fail again this year. You know what? You need to just forget about the resolutions you didn't achieve last year and just focus on the ones you can set now. Wipe that slate clean. Start over. That's why I love New Year's. He said there in Isaiah 43, verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You know, there's some things the past just needs to, they just need to be left in the past. Leave the past in the past. Instead of having this defeated mentality about, oh, I can't change, I can't make these resolutions, I can't be better in this area, I can't get this out of my life, because I have always been that way. You know what? You need to just forget about the past and leave it back there and make these changes. Now, that's not to say that, you know, you shouldn't reflect upon the past. Okay, now go to Philippians chapter 3. Obviously, we should, to some degree, reflect on the past. You know, that's why I'm kind of preaching this now. You know, this is the time for you to think about, okay, New Year's is coming. Have you even set any resolutions? Have you even contemplated setting a resolution this year? You know, that's what I'm trying to motivate you to do if you haven't done that. And look, maybe you already are. But, you know, you say, well, I don't know what my resolution should be. Well, look back on the last year, and what would you like to change? You know, maybe something about your health or your finances, you know, or something about your walk with God. You know, there's things that we could change. So look back on the past, you know, and change the bad, but keep the good. Okay? Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What's he saying here? He's saying, look, I count not myself to apprehend, have apprehended. Now, what's it mean to apprehend something? Well, if you've ever been apprehended by the law, right? They apprehend you. They lay hold on you, right? That's what it means. He's saying, I haven't arrived. You know, I haven't apprehended. Paul himself is saying, I don't have a hold on everything. You know, I haven't reached, you know, the pinnacle of the Christian life. He's saying, I haven't apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do. He's saying, look, I know I haven't achieved everything I need to achieve, but instead of just sitting there dwelling on the fact that I'm not what I should be, or I haven't changed the ways I should have changed, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He's saying, I forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. How did Paul keep getting better and better? How did Paul go down as the greatest Christian in the New Testament and in all of Christianity? How did he achieve all the things that he achieved? By sitting there and dwelling on the fact that, you know, he used to be a blasphemer and he used to be a persecutor, that he wasted the church, is because he sat there and just dwelled upon all of his failings and shortcomings and sins. Knowing, he's saying, he was able to do that, he's saying, because he forgot those things which are behind. He didn't sit there and dwell on the past. And by the way, he didn't just sit there and glory in his old achievements either. and say, well, you know, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, you know, at one point. You know, I was really somebody in the Jews' religion. You know, he didn't sit there and glory in some past glory. You can't sit here and say, well, 2022 is coming up on us, but you know what? I did so much in 2021. I'm just gonna ride that wave right into 2022. I've done enough in 2021 that I don't even need to change anything in 2022. No, that's not true for any of us. We could always do better in some area. Look, maybe there is some area in your life that you have, to some degree, arrived. You've apprehended. You know, you've achieved that goal. But I guarantee you, there's some other, you know, something else has, you know, reared up its ugly head that needs to be, you know, put in its place, right? We all have goals. We should all have goals. Anyway, we all have areas that we need to achieve, and not have this attitude like Paul is showing us here. Not to be somebody who just, you know, dwells on the past, whether good or bad, but to be somebody who forgets those things which are behind, so that they can reach onto those things which are before. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Look, whatever's worked for you in 2021 to help you achieve those goals, you know, you should already, whatever you've already attained, keep that same rule. You know, it's great that you've achieved the things that you did this last year. What are you going to achieve this year? What are you going to change about next year? And I'm preaching this early because I'm not going to be one of these guys that preaches this on New Year's Eve. And then you haven't even thought about it, right? Because honestly, most people probably don't think much about New Year's resolutions. I know I didn't for a long time until I actually started hearing preaching about it and saying, look, this is a good thing. God has given us what, signs and seasons to measure time with, so that we can plot out our days and we can what, apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's what I want to challenge you to do this year in 2022. How are you going to apply your heart unto wisdom with the time that you've been given? You know, not just in your life. That's the big picture. And it's great to have long-term goals, but what are you going to do in 2022? What's going to change in just this next year? What would you keep the same? You know, what have you already attained? You know, walk by that rule. Keep that same thing. But what are you going to change this year? You know, only you can answer those questions. I just wanted to help you, just remind you, look, God has given us signs and seasons. God has given us, the ability to observe time so that we can make the changes that we all need to make. Let's go ahead, close a word of prayer.